What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, get ready for the toastiest podcast you've ever heard in politics, society, and culture. We cover it all here on the Toasty Podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to join the revolution, hit the follow or subscribe button and make sure you select yes to our notifications so you know when a brand new Toasty episode comes out. After that, tell your friends. Sharing the show is literally what makes this show grow. We don't use flyers and we don't use sponsors. This is the home of the independent thinkers on a mission. Once again, guys, thanks for listening and be sure to follow us on Instagram at toasty.podcast for more great content from the creators of the show. Let's get toasty.
Yes. So the whole banter before was just, it's just gone. It's just in the ether now.
Dude, you know how much we banter? A lot. So I think we're pretty good. I think we're pretty good on the banter thing train there, bud. But what I was going to say actually is I'm using a new beard butter.
Oh.
It's called beard butter, dude. No, it's sick, dude. It's awesome. So, you know, having a beard, you got to keep it tight. Which, by the way, I just kind of realized this out of nowhere that you only grew a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
A mustache.
Well, my beard gets scraggly and gross.
Yeah, no,
and it's
but
like,
I just now noticed that.
It's all these different colors.
Why
I have the soul patch,
that,
too, and I don't like the soul patch that much, but Cyril's like, if you get rid of
no,
that,
it looks good.
We're done.
Oh, really? We're done.
That's like her...
But I'll say this, dude. Normally, that's her one thing?
That's her one thing. She was like, you can shave the mustache, but you got to keep the soul patch. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that, but... If anything, I'll shave the soul patch. I think I'm gonna just do it and not say anything and then see if she notices. Because I want to get rid of it. I'd rather just have the stash.
I have a feeling that she would notice. But yeah. Anyway,
I have a feeling too.
So the what I was gonna say is I just noticed that that's a good thing, right? Because that means, you know, it wasn't a big deal. If it was a big deal and I saw you on the streets and I was like, "Yo, child molester," right? That you notice it immediately.
I didn't notice it.
So that means you're good. It blends in. You're good. It goes with the look. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a firefighter. Some of these firefighters out here are like, do not need to have a mustache.
Mm.
But they do because, you know.
They're firefighters.
They're firefighters, man. You got to do what you got to do.
They got to compete with the cops for the best stash.
The hazing. The cops with the best stash.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
There's a hard rivalry between cops and...
Oh, I know that for sure.
I'm on team firefighter, though. I'm just saying that.
No, are you kidding me? It's no contest, especially with all the cops that I've met. No offense to you guys, I guess, but they're all dicks.
When I sold Volkswagens, I had a customer who was a police officer in Plano. Nicest dude in the world.
For real?
Like, super duper awesome, nice, very laid back.
Yeah.
The only thing about him is he was indecisive. I had to be like, you want this car. It's blue. You like it. Blue is a good color.
Right.
Take it home. He'd be like... All right, I trust you. I'll take it home. But I did see a blue one over there, and I'm like, no, don't look over there.
Stop
looking. just take one.
Oh, man. So I fixed
Lights.
Fixed the light situation.
Yes.
Now we're looking at each other.
So much better.
I can see your face,
it's
dude.
It's not an instant headache.
Your beautiful face is amazing. If you guys are just now tuning in to the live version on Facebook, I know the view is kind of wonky or weird to you, but really it's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what our set looks like.
You get to see the lights and the table
see,
and all
yeah,
of like,
you
the
see everything.
50 tripods we have everywhere.
Right. The only thing you're not going to see is the ground, which I don't want you to see the ground ever. So
no, yeah.
Wires, bro. Everywhere.
The total work hazard. OSHA would be pissed if they walked in here. They'd be like, oh my God, so many hazards.
Yeah, I guess. Technically, I don't have any employees, so we're good there, though.
Exactly.
That's how you do it right there. All right, guys. So we already have an intro. We have one intro every single time. It's the same thing all over and over again. If you guys have not shared the show, though, and you listen consistently, please share the show. If you like it, that's how we get to grow. That's how we get out there and change what people think about politics, society, and culture. That's the whole idea, right? To hit the new generation with a bang. Be like, yeah, we got you, and you guys need to know the truth. Which, honestly, if you guys have looked at statistics, the youngest generation right now, Gen Zers, are into politics. More so than even millennials.
Yeah.
I keep seeing that. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
I was listening to Michael Knowles the other day, and he was saying that There's a lot of like, this is kind of a almost a touchy subject, but there's a lot of like, anti-pornography advocates in Gen Z because,
really?
Yeah, because they realize how destructive it is, yeah. Right? And how, yeah, like you pick up a phone at any age and you can see whatever you want, like anything. I remember when I was a kid, like not a kid, probably in middle school, early high school, like the internet was way less censored even then. And you could see murders, you could see anything on, it wasn't even dark web stuff. It was just like this creepy website that you
could
go to.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to even do any of the weird actual dark web
and
stuff.
And now it's kind of separated. No, there's like the main web and then there's the dark web. But it's,
right, and you have to actually like get into the dark web.
The dark web is creepy, dude.
So I agree, man. I agree.
Not about that.
But on politics, so I wanted to give you guys a little rundown. You know, I use Ground News, and I told you guys about it before. And we don't get helped out, or we're not affiliated with them. We don't make money if you use them. Whatever. So far, they're great. And I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update since I've been using it since last week when I just started. I mentioned it on the show. Dude, these guys are awesome. They're on it. It's amazing. And I didn't realize this until this week. I was starting to do all the settings and stuff, but you can change what a news source is to you, if that makes sense. So whenever you're reading the news article, you're like, man, this does not seem like it's a center biased news outlet here on this article. So you can put it yourself. You can say, okay, this seems a little bit right, or this seems a little bit left, whatever you see, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing they have is blind spot, which is predominantly, it's an article that is predominantly put up by the right or left, and it's a blind spot. So if it's put up, mm-hmm, by the left predominantly, it's put on the right side, and they say, hey, this is your blind spot, read it. And if it's put up by the right a lot, they give it to the left. That's crazy, cool, dude. But here's what's interesting about the blind spots. The right, the ones that are predominantly like reported on by the right, are about actual politics. The ones that are reported on by the left are just about random crap. Identity politics, I should say. The first thing I see is Biden won't back down from a looming Catholic rebuke.
Yeah.
Will be attending mass, right?
That's the thing, is I want to see if
predominantly reported by right.
Yeah, and I want to see if they give him the Eucharist.
What's the comparison on the left? Raiders, Carl Nassib comes out as first openly gay active NFL player. What the heck? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, that doesn't have... Okay, whatever. The next thing is, McCarthy calls for declassification of COVID intel, says cannot get to origin by listening to China or WHO. Who would you think reported on that?
Mostly the right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The left, same thing. Colorado police killed in broad daylight shooting. That's the one that we apparently need to look at.
Crime is, like, way up.
It's, oh, I know.
Crazy.
And there's big cities. In the big cities, it is way up.
Yeah. Like 50%.
Minneapolis, Chicago, freaking Portland.
I think the DC murder rate is up like 48% or something close to 50%.
When are people
from last
see...
year, from 2020, which was up like 100% from the year before.
Right.
So
I don't understand how no one blames their leaders.
Yeah, Keisha Lance Bottoms is terrible.
Isn't that crazy?
I've got another. Let me find this article real quick, and we'll kind of skim it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and continue on. I've got some news to talk about, so we'll just get done with that. But in a little tidbit I found, of course, Ground News again. Oh, crap. I'm going to go ahead and start screen recording this crap. Boom, boom. So the FDA is attempting to stop OTC sales, which over-the-counter sales of N-acetylcysteine, or I don't really know how to pronounce it. I'm not a doctor. I'm sorry. It's NAC is how it's always been, like, talked about, or how it's always been, whatever. It's an adjunctive treatment for COVID-19, but it's been around for over 20 years as a regular supplement that everyone uses. It's like a liver supplement. Like, it's to keep your liver healthy and, you know, some other stuff. It goes along the same lines as, like, if you take vitamin D every day, or you take, like, ashwagandha extract for your urine system or whatever, you know. And what is it called? Endocrine system. Like, mm-hmm. Those are random things that we've found that help. And it's, like, nature's – and you go to, like, you know, all the drugstores and you see nature's best. That is a supplement. And under the FDA rules, a supplement is it's a dietary supplement, and it's not regulated by FDA because of that. But here's the interesting caveat. There are some drugs like coenzyme Q10 and vitamin D and they're licensed as drugs, not dietary supplements, but they're also permitted to be sold as supplements. So why all of a sudden, when NAC apparently is deemed not able to be a supplement, why is it all of a sudden being taken off the shelves when COVID comes about and it's actually a good treatment for COVID? It's happening now. So this is happening now after hydroxychloroquine has already come out as an actual viable treatment again, and people have stopped censoring that. Dude, the FDA is like cracking down on these like drugs that inhibit their ability to like
make money,
function, and make money.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's my conspiracy. That's actually a conspiracy theory, but it's like that's what I'm seeing here, man. You know, remember I don't know if Dr. Fauci was the guy, but I talked about this on the show a couple times, and it's ACT, and it was that drug for, you know, AIDS. And maybe I haven't talked about it on the show. I can't remember. But whenever it came out, they took it down because basically went against some of the patents being created by Dr. Fauci and other doctors to help AIDS. But ACT was the real biggest viable option. And of course, they said it was because of safety. Because ACT did, in fact, you know, harm some people. There's never a drug. There's never an end-all, be-all drug. That's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Every human body is different. There's no 100% accuracy. That doesn't exist. But that's what the movie Dallas Buyers Club is about. Straight up.
That's I need to see that movie because I've heard a lot, nothing but good things about it.
It is a pretty interesting movie, but it's about real events that happened. And ACT was in that movie, and he had to get it illegally from Mexico in order to sell it. And that was the Dallas Buyers Club.
Whoa.
So that's why that's a big deal, but that's been happening for that long. This has been happening for that long. FDA is insane, and I'm just tired of coming up with all these government agencies that are all corrupt on the show. It's like every single one we talk about, it's like, oh, this is it. Oh, this is it.
Yeah, and how did they start, really? It just started as a small part of the executive branch, and it grew into its own bureaucracy, and then it grew into its own bureau. And
yeah,
now there's 17 intelligence agencies.
God.
Yeah.
So NAC has been a licensed supplement for 57 years in the U.S. It's widely used. Obviously, it's very safe. There's 541 different studies on it. If you go to clinicaltrials.gov, you can see that list. And I actually have it pulled up right here. And I'm screen recording so you guys can see where it's at. If you guys want to see all of my articles we use and everything else, I'm going to put links in the show notes. But also, they'll be on YouTube because I put the clips of the Toasty Podcast up on YouTube for you guys to watch. If you guys don't like listening, you can go there. Again, if you're just now tuning in to the live episode on Facebook Live, we don't have equipment to put it up and be awesome and professional. I needed to have the two views going for me and Matt, Maddie B, and your live view obviously is behind us and it's kind of wonky. But hey, you get to see the behind the scenes
view of
what's going on, lights and all that stuff. If you guys have not already, please hit that share button. Hit that share button and show friends and family what it really means to be an independent thinker and a, you know, do your own research type of person. I don't think anyone realizes that we actually use multiple sources. I'm not on the Federalist every day looking at articles and giving you guys news. Trust me, I'm not on Newsweek either. Like I use everything I can to get a nice, valid point to make. Now, along those same lines, let's talk about the next piece of news I wanted to give you guys. IRS denies tax-exempt status to Christian nonprofit group because Bible teachings, this is in quotes, are typically affiliated with the Republican Party. That is the headline, and you would think, man, they're just trying to like spice that up. Nah, this is the real deal. The Internal Revenue Service, he goes on to say, the Internal Revenue Service denied a Christian nonprofit group tax-exempt status because the Bible's teachings are typically affiliated with the GOP and its candidates. Specifically, you educate Christians on what the Bible says in areas where they can be instrumental, including the areas of sanctity of life, the definition of marriage, biblical justice, freedom of speech, defense, and borders and immigration. U.S. and Israel relations read a letter from the IRS exempt organization's director, Stephen Martin, to Christians Engaged, a nonprofit group seeking tax exempt status. They were seeking this in 2019. They sent in their request in 2019, and on May 18th, they got this letter back. The Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. This disqualifies you from exemption under IRC Section 501, parentheses C, parentheses 3. There's literally, where, why would you say that from the IRS? How could you possibly say that?
Here's why. So I looked that up and I was like, that's crazy. Like, they're going to get sued and they're going to lose.
They have an appeal, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Go ahead. But so the IRS denied the Christians. It's Christians Engaged is what the organization is called.
Right.
And they want to, they, like you said, they applied for 501c3 status, and the IRS denied them because they engaged in both religious and educational purposes while getting out the vote. You can't do both.
While getting out the vote?
What? Yes. So they can't spend, quote, substantial amount on activities of a, quote, action organization.
Okay.
So they're a political action.
Okay, but how does a leftist nonprofit that tells people to go vote get tax exempt status?
Like which one?
I don't know. I'm asking. I are there more? Because I think I have a feeling. If I want to dig, I want to dig into this.
We should.
That's a good one.
Because I'll bet you Planned Parenthood has get out the vote efforts.
There you go. There's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good comparison. Because that's what I'm trying to. I mean, that's crazy to
me. You'll never hear me defend the IRS, but that was their excuse, right?
No, and that's a valid point, I guess.
Yes.
How is that against their, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. But it says specifically Republican affiliated. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
They're definitely like pinpointing and assuming. There's literally nothing in there that says anything
basically
about being Republican.
Basically, the IRS is saying that Christians Engaged is a partisan organization, not a nonprofit organization.
And they're immediately pinning Christians on the Republican Party.
Which, yeah, but...
I know that might be true in a stereotypical way. It is, but dude, you can't just like... That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
How a government organization, again. So we just hit the FDA. Now we hit the IRS. Guys, we have episodes on abolishing these things. Well, specifically the IRS. We haven't talked about the FDA like in depth yet. There is, you know, you might think we lean right on this show. And, you know, most of the time you'd be right. But, dude, there are things that we talk about that we are for that have nothing to do with any party that's out there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Legalizing all drugs, okay, that's crazy.
Libertarian thing.
That might be a libertarian thing. And then you want to abolish the IRS. I'm not sure if anyone's talking about that. We also want
to... Well, Ted Cruz, that was one of the things I want to abolish the IRS. When he was running for president in 2016, he said, right. I want to abolish the IRS, and I want you to be able to do your taxes on a postcard.
But it's not a normal GOP thing.
No.
It's not at all.
But he was also...
And then Rand Paul.
He was also...
Abolished Social Security. Yeah, not a normal GOP thing.
But Ted Cruz was runner-up to Trump.
Right.
Like, close runner-up. Like, stayed in the race the second longest.
I heard this the other day, a good point made. It wasn't really a point. It has nothing behind it. But one of my good friends was like, honestly, dude, where Ted Cruz is at, I think he does a very, very fantastic job. I don't think I would like him as a president.
That's why I didn't vote for him. I voted for him for Senate twice.
Right. Dude, he does a fantastic job where he's at,
in my opinion. An awesome senator, for sure. Right.
I'm not sure if he could do as much.
I don't think he would be quite as effective. Like, Trump is very effective because he knows...
He just came in and did it.
He just knows how to, like, get things done.
Right. It's almost like when you've been in it too long...
Ted Cruz is too much of an ideologue. Ted Cruz would be a fantastic... Cameron Mikeley would be a fantastic Supreme Court pick.
Right.
But
here we go. You ready? Quotes. Denying tax-exempt status for Christians Engaged while recognizing the exempt status of other organizations who encourage civic engagement from different viewpoints demonstrates the IRS's impermissible viewpoint discrimination. That is Patterson in the appeal letter. He's actually representing Christians Engaged as their legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
They call him, he has some name to his company too. I can't remember. Anyways, guys, that's the tidbit of news I wanted to give you guys there. That was weird, man. It's just like, why are you guys doing that? And this is something that's not really reported on either, of course. Did you find that article?
Which one?
Which article? You were looking for an article about, before we started this whole thing. It's like media bias, maybe, or it was before I read the FDA.
I'm looking for one that I read earlier today. That was I should have screenshot.
Oh, dude, you talking about saving articles, man? I have started.
It was
to put it in my head. I've got to save an article.
It was Dr. Fauci and the mayor of Washington, D.C., going around Washington, D.C., in the suburbs, like poor black communities, essentially, with the lowest some of the lowest vaccination rates in the country, and be like, how come you don't get your vaccine? You know, you should go get your vaccine. I'm Dr. Fauci. And then they would just be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, no.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, none of them. They didn't persuade anyone. And they got heckled. The mayor of D.C. got heckled while she was walking around, and they were like, I wanted to find the article so I could get the exact quote, but like, you never come around here. You have no presence here. You just show up whenever it's politically convenient. And then you don't do anything to help our neighborhoods. Our murder rates are spiking, which they are. Like, she was getting called out. Like, how embarrassing that your own constituency, like, hates you. Like, how'd she get elected? It's just corruption in D.C. It's nothing but swamp.
Like, how'd she get elected? That's a good one right there. That's a quote we need to put on all the Democrats.
Yeah.
Like,
how'd you get elected? Voted for you?
Like, what the heck? Tables are turning, bro. Tables are turning.
Well, I'll stop looking for it because that was basically the gist of the article. Well,
you're good, dude. Yeah. I'm over that whole thing, you know? Not that whole thing. I'm saying, like, we don't have to. You know what? We're going to say what we find. And if they don't believe us, you know what, dude? Fine. They can go fact check their own article, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they were getting heckled, and it's just like, it's hilarious that they don't have any credibility on their own turf.
Right.
I bet they thought they were going to be like celebrities, and everyone's going to be crowding around and taking pictures with them and selfies and stuff. And no, they didn't persuade anyone.
Yeah.
No one. They went to one lady's house, and she was like definitely an older lady, and they were like, you know, you think you're going to get the vaccine? And she was like, I don't know. I don't trust it. Right. And then they were like, well, we'll get you in touch with the NIH, like, lead health administrator or something like that, very high up in the NIH. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then it was reported that when she went back inside, she told a relative, like, I ain't getting no vaccine. Like, I ain't getting no shot.
Oh,
like, they didn't
gosh.
Persuade anyone. They didn't change anything because they have no credibility. They don't trust them. Like,
what I don't understand. Okay. And people talking about history and how vaccines are great and no vaccine has ever been bad or whatever the heck they're saying. That's sometimes they'll bring up that argument. For hundreds of years, we've had these vaccines and nothing's really gone wrong or whatever. I'm not. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
That could probably be proven wrong, but hold on a second. If you're asking someone that's 80 plus years old and they say, no, I don't trust a vaccine, they have 80 years of U.S. experience behind them telling you they don't trust it. Why don't they trust it?
I mean, anyone who's over 80 is going to be really, really stubborn, right?
Well, sure.
Like, you're not going to change anyone's mind when they're 80.
They did not take the other vaccines, probably, I'm assuming, by this point. They may be anti people. But
I mean, I can understand why you would be hesitant about this particular vaccine.
Oh, no, for sure. All of us can.
Yeah.
I'm down.
First RNA vaccine approved by the FDA, made in under 8 months. Like,
and an 80-year-old sees this, and you're like, okay, nah, that's just some stupid grandma that doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing. They always say, go ask your older, elder freaking grandpas and great-grandmas.
Yeah, the
and
wisdom.
Great whatever, for the wisdom, right? You know? Like, that's one little point that should prove maybe we shouldn't, I guess, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I hope they don't take us down for that. They didn't take us down last time we talked about it, so because Facebook apparently is pretty good at live stuff. YouTube would have probably taken us down. The next article I want to read is Israel says it is developing an airborne laser to down drones.
Jewish space lasers?
Apparently.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was right.
Jewish space lasers, brother.
Oh my gosh.
So you want to talk about the Iron Dome? It's about to get even more irony.
It's like ironed. It's like no longer a dome. It's like the iron blanket.
Yeah, the iron, you can't touch this. All right, so anyway.
The iron hammer.
Wow. Why was that so funny? I don't know.
It was.
Israel's Defense Ministry and defense contractor Elbit Systems LTD are developing an airborne laser weapon to shoot down drones and other flying targets, officials said on Monday. That's today. Predicting a prototype would be ready by 2025. They said the as-yet-unnamed laser weapon could be incorporated in Israel's multi-tier air defenses, which include the Iron Dome system for downing short-range rockets and the David's Sling and Arrow systems against ballistic missiles. This is insane, cool dude. It's a super cool name, but it's so fascinating. It's so fascinating that this article came out, and they already had their new leadership and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And like that's already happened, and like, they're still going along the same lines as Israel has always gone along, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But everyone...
They've been very...
But everyone seemed to be excited whenever Israel said, we got new power now. Well, we have a new person in power, new people in power, whatever. Even the left, right? The media stopped reporting on how bad Israel was as soon as they got people in power. New people in power. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As if maybe they liked that. How does that? What do you mean?
Not Netanyahu is very pro Republican because Republicans tend to be more hawkish when it comes to Israeli defense, and Netanyahu is a very hawkish prime minister.
Gotcha. Yeah, he seemed like a hawk. He looked like a hawk.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's like a hawk. He was in power for a very, very long time.
Oof, guy looks sketchy.
I like Netanyahu. He's awesome.
Maybe he was.
He was in power for like 20 years.
Like Donald Trump looks like a dick. Like, what do you want to say?
Yeah, and he is, so it kind of works out that way. All right, all
right. Oh, man.
But he's an effective leader, so that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, dude. Like, when you work for a place that has, like, you don't like the manager, he's like, man, he's mean. That place probably runs like a top.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, let's look at it that way, right? I came from a dealership world, and that's exactly how it was. I thought I had it bad because the manager's a total asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. That manager did his job well.
And yeah, or if the manager's like super cool. He's a super cool guy, man. I get along with him really well. Yeah, but man, it's like everything's so weird.
He doesn't do anything.
The place is dirty. He doesn't do much. The schedule's all messed up. So yeah.
He has no idea what goes on back here.
It's a give and
take.
That
same leadership idea, I think, goes all the way up. Goes to politics, goes through everything.
Yeah, it's just...
That same... It's leadership.
They're not there to be your friend. Same with parents. They're not there to be your friend. They're there to be your parent. They're there to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Speaking of Israel's new prime minister, he literally just said, wake up. New Israeli leader blasts Biden's nuclear talks with Iran. Which, duh. Why would... What... Half the stuff Democrats do, especially Joe Biden, more it's like 90% of what he does. I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, policy wise, for Trump, it was personality wise. I would say, like, why would you say that? Come on, man. Like, just
come on, man.
Let things go. Drop it.
Man.
You know, move on.
Come on, man. Live to
fight another day. And then he just says something really freaking stupid and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
And now he's not president anymore. So that's, you get what you ask for. But anyway. the Biden administration and its international partners must, quote, wake up and rethink negotiations with a dangerous regime in Iran. New Israeli PM Naftali Bennett said Sunday as he opened his first cabinet meeting with a harsh rebuke of the U.S.-led push to strike a new nuclear deal with the Islamic Republic.
Wow. You know what led me to believe that right there without reading that article? I read another article that said China's freaking military guy or lead defense guy, something like that. He's not the president, I don't think, but he's like right next to him.
Defense minister or something?
Maybe. He said he basically congratulated Iran on their new leadership and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, that's... Why are you guys buddy-buddy? You know, like...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's like scary, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then you know, like, oh, man. Anyway, wowzers, dude. Wowzers.
Yeah. Another thing I got from... This is originally from Ground, is where I saw it.
You're using them now? I need to give you the. I need to give you our login.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So you can actually use them to their full potential.
But this is from Washington Times, which leans right. And see if you can. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to tell you who said this, but you'll probably guess who it was. I never use the word concede. I have not conceded, Mr. Blank said in an interview with David Brody on Real America's Voice. Mr. Blank reiterated his unproven allegations of voter fraud in the 2020 election and said he anticipates the controversial audit in Arizona to show just that. They're still on it.
They don't have anything auditing else in Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there's still stuff going on, dude. Riots are still happening in Portland.
Yes.
People are still going crazy. Antifa still exists.
But guess what? The mainstream media, even Fox, I lump in Fox News with the mainstream media. No, but they're not doing it, dude.
They're not. No, I'm saying I lump in Fox News with the mainstream media.
Sure, they're in it. Like, they're part of the establishment. Tucker Carlson will have people on that does not get aired, by the way.
He's only there because of his freaking contract.
I guarantee
it. Did you see the reporter that freaking came out?
Him and Hannity need to leave, I think.
Who was the girl that, not Fox, who was the girl that came out and was like, they've been muzzling me as a reporter?
She was on a local Fox affiliate.
Local Fox affiliate. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, screw this. I'm going to give all this stuff I know to Project Veritas.
Yep.
It's like, dude.
I can't wait for another couple of weeks because Project Veritas is like, bring it on, girl.
It'd be so cool if we get someone from Project Veritas on the show.
Oh, man. If we could get James O'Keefe on the show.
Okay. James O'Keefe, dude. That's like the whale, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's the founder, editor. And
I know. He's awesome. He's a totally dope guy. How many people even work for Project Veritas?
Like 15?
I don't know.
It can't be a big organization.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on, James.
So that's your shout out, James. Want to come on the show, bro? Guys, if you're tuning in right now on the live, the view, of course,
is... You're late.
Yeah, you're late, first of all. But second of all, the view is kind of whatever because I don't have all that professional camera view angle crap, you know? But you get to see the behind-the-scenes look, honestly. You get to see the lights. You get to see what we're at, our table set up and all that stuff. The only thing you can't see is the ground, so that's cool to me. I don't know. If you guys are – but if it's the first time you're listening ever,
whoa,
share the show.
Yeah, like, share, and subscribe.
If you like
subscribe,
us, dude, hit the notification bell. Like our beautiful faces, dude.
Comment on the videos because that helps with the YouTube algorithm and all that stuff.
Right. We don't do ads. I just spout out how you should share the show constantly. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, man. Anyway, on to our actual topic of the day.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You got some more stuff to mention?
Two more articles. They'll be quick.
You said, let's make this podcast quick.
I know.
Bro, let's go. Let's have it. So, okay. I'm cool.
One's pretty damn funny. So there's a senator named Sheldon Whitehouse. I know no one's ever heard of him because no one cares about Rhode Island because it's like the size of Dallas. Okay, it's small and pretty insignificant as a state. So Sheldon Whitehouse is defending his family's membership. This is okay. So now I'm in the Washington Post. I'm in the lion's den right here of like liberal.
The lion's den.
Crap.
That's what you're gonna call it.
And their headline is a little bit softer. Like everyone's like it's a whites only club, and it is. They don't allow minority members. They said the club came out in their defense, and they were like, let me just read the headline. Senator Whitehouse defends family's membership in a private beach club amid questions about whether it is all white. Okay, there's no questions about whether it's all white. It is all white.
Because I'm all white. Because I'm all white. Anyway, all right.
And the... Eesh. That's funny. And the...
I was in the songs, whatever.
So, it's called Bailey's Beach Club, and it's informally known as... So, sorry. Which is... Washington Post with your typos. Which is formally known as the Sprouting Rock Beach Association. Sprouting Rock. Ugh. The private beach club is located on Ocean Avenue in Newport, Rhode Island, has been described as a haven for the Vanderbilts, the Astors, and other members of America's ruling class.
Ocean Avenue? That's like famous, right?
Not. I think you're thinking of like California. I don't know. It doesn't matter. In an interview Friday.
I am thinking of California.
No, it's... Yeah, I think that, so. Yeah, White House replied, I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet. It's 2021, and this is a whites only club. I read in a different article about the same thing that they allow Jewish members, so that's, you're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then there were the club's defense. They were like, no, we have one mixed race couple, and sometimes they bring their mixed race kids.
Oh my gosh.
It was like,
dude.
You're like, I have black friends, I swear. Like, it's not.
And this is a Democrat senator that
yeah.
goes to this thing?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's Rhode Island. So, yeah, they're.
Deep, I don't know,
deep,
man.
They're deep blue.
These people, man. These people.
I was just like, the hypocrisy knows no bounds on the left. And it's hilarious.
I'm trying to reply. It's not working.
The there we go. Nice. Other article this Kiwi tranny athlete from New Zealand. That's what they're called, Kiwis. New Zealanders.
Really?
Yeah. And tranny is like, how can that be a bad word? I'm not trying to be derogatory or anything. Kiwi tranny athlete who just qualified for the Olympics is also the oldest weightlifter in the Olympics. So what does that tell
you? Yeah,
but
the thing is like,
43.
And man to woman, right?
Yes.
Totally going to have an advantage.
Obviously. They were allowed in 2015 after the International Olympic Committee changed their rules to allow for transgender athletes and then for the men transitioning to become, look more like women. You can have no greater than 10 nanomoles of testosterone per liter of blood. So a mole is just like a measurement of volume. 10 nanomoles of testosterone per liter of blood. I think that's like 10 times. So 10 nanomoles would be like 10 times the average amount of testosterone that a woman would have.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
None, I guess.
Well, women do have testosterone, just like men have some estrogen, but
right.
It's obviously like way different. Yeah, what
I would like to see a ratios. Big study on that, because you have some men that don't make as much testosterone as others, and like a lot of men have to have supplements and all this stuff. You know, I want to see like a nice...
Same with women, they have to have estrogen sometimes.
Right, I want to see like a nice big range study where they like come in and they can be like, this testosterone level is like minuscule, and then be like, that's the one we're going to go with.
I just don't think they should allow men and women sports
at all.
I mean, it's freaking simple and it's so stupid that this is even a debate.
Right.
It shows you how far in decline our social structure is.
I think tolerance is the word. Yeah. We have tolerated.
Tolerance can be really, really bad.
Exactly.
If someone's punching you in the face, you're like, I'll tolerate it. Yeah. It's not going to work out, is it?
No, but what's happening is it goes from like a tiny little love tap, beep, 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 to like a freaking like nice little punch, and then bam, 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 and now there's beating us to death, dude.
Yep.
That's literally how it goes, man.
Yep.
Scope creep on getting beat to death. So, anyway, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. All right. So we want to talk about the fall of Rome. That is what we want to talk about today. And yeah.
And the parallels between the fall of Rome and
America,
what's going
right?
on. Oh, sorry. I saw something. I was watching YouTube earlier and I saw something on a video and I was like, that's a good point. I'm going to see if I can kind of remember. Yes. I got it.
Oh, nice. I brought up what I did instead is because I knew, you know, my boy Matt over here would write down notes because he's awesome. Anyway, I have 8 reasons why Rome fell. And what I want to do is kind of try, what I would like to do is kind of try to compare these reasons like that are happening in America somehow. But I'm not sure if they're going to be the same because... Well, there are 2 completely different continents. So, yeah. It's on the History Channel or History.com.
I saw that.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. Well, yeah. So we'll see what happens, I guess.
Did you want to go through those 10 points? 8 points?
I can. Do you want to go through them now? Yeah, I'll go through them now. Yeah.
Well, I used part of that article. But that article contradicts itself. It's literally like there's too much military spending, and then it was like military didn't spend enough. I'm like, you kind of just contradicted yourself by like,
right?
But then they were like, there's like a 100-year difference between those two,
right?
Kind of events.
Yeah, guys, if you guys don't know this, Rome was over the course of like 800 years. It went from a republic to an empire to
2 different empires,
democracy type thing. I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah, 2 different empires.
It never became a democracy.
Never, again. I know. But was there anything close to it?
Nope.
Republic is probably the closest. No?
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope. It just collapsed.
Because I thought one section like up north was like trying to be...
The population of Rome after Emperor Constantine turned Constantinople into the capital of Rome. Because Rome, the Roman Empire split between Eastern and Western.
Right.
And Emperor Constantine... switched the capital because the Western Empire was in decline and they were running out of money and they were getting invaded by barbarians and all this stuff. And they're like, well, we're doing pretty good against these Persians. We have a lot of good agriculture. We're selling lots of stuff. We're pretty wealthy. I'm collecting lots of taxes. My army's doing well. I'm going to move the capital from Rome to Constantinople, which was then had a different name. I can't think of it right now, but it was named after Constantine after a while. And once I want to say the population of Rome was like, yeah, it was, I think it was 500,000 people at the beginning of this. By, I think just like 50 years later, it pulled to Detroit. It went to 80,000 people. From wow. 500, from half a million to 80,000 in like 50 years.
Holy crap, baby.
Yeah. Brutal.
That's fast.
And just think about America's cities. I mean, what's happening
right now? It happens even faster in America, it seems like.
The whole process is like rapidly sped up.
Number one was invasions by barbarian tribes. So I guess that was on the western side. You said eastern side? Eastern side, right?
Yeah. No, western side.
So it was on the western side that was happening.
The easterns Persians were fighting Persians, yeah, Iranians. Right.
The second thing was economic troubles and over-reliance on slave labor. And that's where I don't really know, like, if we're the same. So we have economic troubles for sure.
So I made a Venn diagram.
Good old Matty B.
And what I kind of came to the conclusion of is they are really similar. There's a parallel. So not the same thing. Obviously, we're not relying on slave labor. But the Roman Empire did have an over-reliance on slave labor. And we have an over-reliance on cheap foreign labor, i.e., Chinese. Yeah,
we do.
So
that may be worse. But yeah, it's like,
much worse because
it's worse, right?
It's, well, okay, I'm not saying slavery is better than cheap Chinese labor. I'm just saying, Chinese do slave use slaves. Labor, so
no, but China
they enslave Uyghurs all the time. So it's not that different.
Interesting.
And I think using our adversary to make our goods is obviously a giant conflict of interest.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. Yeah, how can that lead to anything good, right?
It won't.
We've been doing it for years, and it's hasn't. Just going to get a decline. Yeah. Number three was the rise of the Eastern Empire, which we just talked about.
The Byzantine Empire. You know, the same. They call it the Byzantine Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire.
Right. And because of Constantinople.
And it lasted until the 15th century. Whereas Rome fell in like 470-something or late 400s. Late 5th century, yes.
So the Eastern Empire lasted a long time.
Another 1,000 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
Another millennia. Think about that.
Number four was overexpansion and military overspending. Now, that's something else I've looked at, because Rome, like, they kept, like, just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. They constantly were just getting huge. It's like, bro, when do you, like, have too much to take care of? You know, it obviously makes sense that the Eastern and West just kind of fell apart. Mm-hmm. Or, like, they weren't together. Like, I mean, how could you do that? We can't even have America, like, on the same page, and you're expecting... How big was the Roman Empire or the Roman whatever? Was the Roman lands, was it ever bigger than America? Have we done that, the comparison? It wasn't? Really? No. Dang, it looks so big, you know, because on a map,
it's huge.
You know, the whole continent's spread out. And it literally, you know, goes into Africa.
All the way around the Mediterranean Sea. So it's got the Iberian Peninsula of France and Spain. It's got Southern Europe of like Italy, Croatia, Greece, going all the way to Turkey, Constantine, that's where Constantinople is.
Right.
I think that's actually Istanbul today. It's the same city.
Wow.
And then, northern Libya, northern, I think like Morocco and those northern African countries, Egypt.
Yeah.
All ruled by the Romans. Even into the Middle East. I mean, Jesus was killed by a Roman, right?
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We'll gloss over that.
All right, dude. Yeah, number five, government corruption and political instability. Well, that's an obvious, like, not even just a parallel. That's like
so
straight up.
to touch on that, yeah, so that's the same exact thing. I have it in two different, because it's not the exact same thing, but I wanted to throw this comparison out there and let y'all marinate on it.
Marinate.
The Praetorian Guard, which is what the basically like secret service for the Roman emperors, at one point auctioned off the emperor's throne. they're like, whoever wants it, we'll take the highest bidder. And it was a destiny. It's like
not like the material, but like the throne, like the position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was thinking like, you know, Game of Thrones style, like here's the throne we built, you know. That never happened in Game of Thrones. I'm thinking in real life, there was like a Game of Thrones thing built, and it was like, you know, here it is, millions of dollars or whatever.
That's ridiculous.
Wouldn't that be funny?
What people spend their money
Wouldn't
on.
Wouldn't that be funny? Romans were like, hey, take the throne. Yeah, here they're just like,
oh, it's like a joke's on you. Yeah, that
Jeff Soros has it in his house. Just kidding. Isn't that it? Jeff Soros? What's his name?
It's not Jeff.
It's not Jeff?
It's George.
I got George mixed up with Jeff Bezos.
He's Hungarian.
I'm sorry, guys. George Soros.
I don't know.
George?
I don't know how you say George in Hungarian. But
apologies all around.
So anyway, the Praetorian Guard auctioned off the emperor's seat at one point. And this was a really underreported story, and I thought it was a pretty big deal when it came out. The Capitol Police wrote a letter to Congress for the first time ever and said, we want an investigation into the January 6th quote-unquote riot.
In America.
Yeah.
Yeah, in America. Yeah. Not in Rome.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. So demanding. So they demanded a June 6th commission, or January 6th commission.
Right.
And the thing is, those are the people protecting Congress. Not the president, not the executive branch. That's Secret Service. But the people protecting Congress and the Supreme Court and the Capitol itself in Washington, D.C., those are the people that are demanding this inquisition, if you will, of what happened on January 6th. They're the only people that killed somebody that day, the Capitol Police. Still unidentified, who shot Ashley Babbitt, which I think is a huge deal. Yeah, they killed somebody. They shot her.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, but they're not going to.
They never released the name of the officer. And yet everyone knows who Derek Chauvin is. Everyone knows who all the other cops that shot.
And it was like point blank people, almost, right? Isn't that the one that was like through a window? Like,
I want to say it was probably about 10 to 15 feet.
Okay.
Dude, pretty close.
It was like in the neck, right?
Yeah. And he panicked and pulled the trigger. I mean, he deserves to be tried and convicted of murder, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude.
There's no excuse for that. I mean, if Derek Chauvin's going to go to prison for murder, then this guy should go to death row.
For sure, right?
For sure.
Okay, yeah.
I have no mercy for murderers. Anyway.
That's where I think we disagree. Like, I don't think humans have the right to decide who lives and dies. But that's it. As far as going to prison, go to prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard. I don't know. That's a really hard one for me to like
reconcile.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, death penalty is a very, very touchy subject. I would say I've probably always been pro death penalty, but at certain points I really questioned it. I was like, is it really worth it? You know, like there's so many false convictions.
Well, that too. Well, that's but
DNA
it,
has
right?
basically changed all of
that. Like it can be right, and that's fine, and he can be the guy, whatever. I just don't have. I have a bad feeling whenever like another human's like, hey. I don't know. I just weird. I'm weird about that.
Not me.
I know. You're good. It's not.
But that's
a big
the
deal.
thing is,
I used to be like death penalty. Let's do it. You know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I hear a lot of people go, well, how can you be pro-life and pro-death penalty at the same time? I'm like, well, they're not the same thing. Okay, one guy molested and killed an 11-year-old, and one is not born yet. So,
right,
can't really like.
But it's still a life anyway. Number six, the arrival of the Huns and the migration of the barbarian tribe. The Huns, Chinese, Asian? Where are the Huns from?
The Huns are from, I believe, like Central Europe. Like, I think Hungarian.
Yeah, and I was thinking like, yeah, right. I guess I was trying to think back to Age of Empire days.
No,
did you ever play that game?
If anything, it would be the Mongols.
Just skip past it.
If anything, it would be the Mongols
and
Persians.
Age of Empire is awesome, by the way, first of all. So I'm offended.
I'm sure it is. I'm
offended that you're just going to gloss
over
that.
I played, what was the other game? Command and Conquer.
It's like Civilizations, right? Is it all the same? Yeah. So, yeah, Age of Empires was basically before Civilization. It was awesome. It was great, dude. But I loved playing those games, dude. They went through all the time periods, you know?
Yeah.
It was cool. I thought the Huns looked Asian, but I guess they didn't.
that's
literally where I was asking the question.
Well, the thing is, you got to think 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, like people didn't travel that far just to battle for territories that were on the other side of the world to them. Yeah. There was no,
right.
I guess, you know, there was no new world yet. They didn't even have any idea North America existed back then. So
and the migration of barbarian tribes, of course, that's bad.
Yeah, invading forces is what I have. Yeah. And that's in the middle of the Venn diagram, so you know that one's important right there. So I have here, the Goths invaded the Roman West and were exploited by corrupt politicians in Rome.
Oh, no.
Who'd have thunk that? Yeah, and then I just put Central Americans U.S., and you can kind of draw your own conclusion.
Central Americans U.S.
Who's being exploited? I mean, aren't they being just horribly exploited? I mean, Democrats just see them as votes. They don't see them as...
Central America? Yeah.
Yeah, Central Americans. They don't see them as mouths to feed or people coming here, not just for a better life for themselves, but to send back money to their families. And did you know that the number one source of income in Mexico is... repatriation,
which is people getting
people going, sending money and having, yeah. back to Mexico, more than tourism.
Is it reparation? Is that what it's called?
No, I think it's repatriation. I have to look it up. I think it's repatriation, something like that.
Okay,
but yeah, it's more than tourism, more than agriculture, probably not more than the drug trade, but that's not really like accurately measured right now.
Oh, dude, yeah, never.
It's
like COVID numbers.
It's people living in the U.S. sending their money, our money, back to their it's their money after they earn it, right?
Right.
Back to their family.
Yeah.
That's their number one source of income for Mexico, and I'm sure it is for other Central American countries as well. But that money is not taxed at all.
Because if
they're not U.S. citizens, and they're getting paid under the table. They don't get taxed, and that money leaves the U.S. untaxed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, dude. I think that, you know, closing the borders is necessary, but then also if we, for a short time period, like 5 years, let more people in correctly, you know, of course, but like have that line get down a little bit, that people are waiting outside the U.S. to get in, basically, then we have more people working and more taxed.
The only thing with that is if we say, hey, you know, we're going to allow expedited legal immigration. The line's going to triple overnight.
Well, people are going to be like,
oh, hell yeah, I'm going to jump in.
Whatever, they can jump in, that's fine.
But then you're going to have a way longer line. How does that benefit anyone?
Well, the line is still a line, right? People are still in line in their number, right? Like, I don't think that would matter. I think that the people jumping in whenever they say expedited immigration are like, oh, I'll just jump in because I can. That's their freaking problem, honestly. The people that have already been waiting in line should, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's an issue. Even though, yeah, the line would get longer, like, the line's going to be there no matter what, apparently, mm-hmm. right? But for this whole tax thing and the whole problem we have with migrants and coming in and not being taxed and just being here and using all of our resources, we can kind of combat that, especially when we have unemployment that's crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy's going, seems like it's in a downward trajectory because of inflation. We can kind of alleviate some of that, probably, I would think. You know, one of the ways would be to, let's expedite this immigration policy thing. Let's get these things going, you know, move people in that want to work legally, and then we get tax dollars off of that.
I think...
What's a downside, besides the line being longer? Like, is that, how big of a deal? What would that actually cause, I wonder, to other countries? I don't know.
Yeah, well, other countries would be pissed because then their best and brightest would want to move to America because it'd be easier for them to move in.
Boom. And they're probably already in line, by the way.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, you're right.
If you're the best doctor in Bangladesh, why would you want to move to America and become a janitor, right? Your doctor degree does not matter in the U.S. You have to have something from one of our schools or from like a European school or something like that.
I could agree, but then again, I've heard stories, many stories of people being like, I'm going to come, like customers from at BMW would be like, yeah, I moved to America and I'm just a normal dude now. I'm like, what the heck? It's just weird. They would do like, they went to universities, they did all this mm-hmm. stuff in their country and
but
all that stuff.
But we don't recognize like, that
that's fine
degree.
With me, but my point of saying all this stuff is to say that I think they still want to come to America, dude. America's like... desired, you know.
Well,
like,
yeah,
whatever
for
I have
sure.
to do, whatever I have to do, basically is what they're thinking. They're thinking, right?
Well, I'm pretty much not pro immigration at this point at this juncture. Let's just say,
yeah.
I don't think we should allow any immigrants. I think we should have an immigration freeze 100%.
Right now, that's what you think.
Until we figure out what the hell is going on, to use the words of Trump.
So you
and it's not because I don't like immigrants or anything like that. It's not because I don't value those people. I think there's some of the best people on earth coming to America. I'm like, hell yeah, we want the best. We have a lot of people already.
Economic aspect of it. Politically, though, you're right, because
economically, it would be worse for our country. What we need to do is stop paying people to stay home. Then you'd see jobs and unemployment go right where they need to be.
No, yeah, I agree.
That's the main problem is we can't get people to go back to work because they make more money or equal amount of money staying home and doing their side hustle, whatever it is.
This COVID like unemployment thing is a magnified version of all of our social programs we've had for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Welfare, what may have you, whatever it may be. Because the people that are on these things also just stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's going to look at it like that, of course. So we're not going to get rid of all of the social programs. Of course, getting rid of the unemployment thing would definitely
help. And
that's
the thing is once it's there, it's so much harder to get rid of because no politician has the cojones to just say, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to...
Are you sure that's it? Like, I don't think it just takes one guy, a politician dude, let's do it.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? Just to go against the grain and do it. I don't know.
Well, it takes an act of Congress, and they're all cowards. There's not a brave member of Congress in the whole bunch. 527 friggin' cowards.
Thomas Massey's a senator, right? Yeah, never mind. Okay.
There's a couple decent ones.
Yeah, whatever.
But the thing is, though, I'm not going to vote for Ted Cruz again. Two terms as a senator, that's it. I deeply regret voting for John Cornyn this last time around. Mostly because of the Juneteenth national holiday. I don't, not that I disagree with the fact that Juneteenth should be a national holiday. I think there should be some sort of like freedom for all Americans type of day, which is kind of like, because I can see why some people wouldn't necessarily be that enthusiastic about July 4th, because not everyone became independent. We became independent of Britain, but blacks were still enslaved.
Right.
And American Indians were still...
differences, but America is America. So I kind of separate those two. So yeah, I agree. And Juneteenth,
but the thing is,
necessary.
We also kind of need to rally around unity. You know, we can't be making all these crazy changes to say, oh, we got to please this group and this sector and this sector and this
sector. In U.S. history, I don't think we've ever had a time where we just did that. It's always been caused by something. It's always been caused by a war.
That's why we have Columbus Day.
Straight up.
That's why we have Columbus Day. It was the largest mass lynching of any one group or race or ethnicity of people, and it was Italians. The U.S. lynched like 11 or 15, something like that, Italians.
And they call it Columbus Day.
No. And then they made Columbus Day a national holiday to placate to the Italian population in the U.S.
Right, that's fine. I get it. Yeah, I'm there.
But the thing is, like, what happened? Like, the BLM riots, and now we're giving them a national holiday? But
I would say specifically George Floyd is what they're going with. I don't know. You have a statue in Newark, New Jersey. You have a new statue in New York, by the way. There's another statue.
Why are we idolizing this guy?
It was a huge head of him. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. The thing is, the name of the bill was Juneteenth National Independence Day Bill. Or act or whatever. I was like, that's not National Independence Day. Not even close.
Right.
That's like the day a group of black Texans in Galveston found out that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed.
Yeah.
Two years after it was signed in 1865.
Right.
When Lincoln freed the slaves in 1863. So it's kind of an erroneous holiday.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, because it kind of happened after the
fact. Why not do it on Emancipation Proclamation Day?
Right.
And call it Emancipation Day. Boom, done. Great. Everyone's happy, you know?
Right.
But they can't... I'm kind of stealing this from Michael Knowles a little bit because he talked about this and he was like, no, but they can't make the white guy the hero because Abraham Lincoln is the hero, obviously, of the Civil War. Him and Grant. And to a lesser extent... people like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman, for sure. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the impact of Lincoln and Grant were much more than Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass. And that's just a historical fact.
All right.
And you could argue that it is because of, back then, definitely, you could argue it's because of white privilege.
Because, yeah, well, yeah, back you know, then,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
Okay, cool. Moving on, though, number seven, Christianity and the loss of traditional values.
Yeah.
So that is true. I would say that's an obvious thing in our country that's happening. Mm-hmm. We just talked about it just now. We were talking about tolerating things and tolerance and how that's actually like it's a killer, man. Tolerance is a killer of any society, in my opinion, because once you have tolerance, you know, it never stops. And, of course, you've heard this numerous times, you know, you let one thing happen and it gets bigger and bigger. That's mm-hmm. just how
snowballs.
It works. If you are a parent out there, I'm sure you realize this with your own kids. You can probably see it as they grow older. You know, you can't do that. I'm not even a parent. I'm just letting you know that does happen. You know, I've had parents, right? So I have some experience being a kid, huh?
Yeah. I've had parents.
And I know how my parents, if they let me do something, I'm the guy. I'm going to go ahead and keep testing that boundary.
Oh, yeah. And that's I'm the how same that works. Way. Yeah.
Right. So,
especially as a kid, you're just like, what can I get away
and then
with?
And then my mom, you know, would be like, okay, now we're putting rules. And I'd be like, you already lost your chance.
you got to be proactive, mom.
Got to be proactive, mom.
But yeah, to touch on that, we touched on that last week very briefly. How Rome, they had the new religion called Christianity come in, right? And they lost their traditional Roman values.
Yeah.
And we've got this new religion called wokeism coming in.
Okay.
Or leftism or secular progressivism or whatever you want to call it. There's so many different names. It is a total.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. It's a total secular progressivism, I think, is another good one because secular, you know, separated itself from any religion, supposedly. The progressivism, that's just like it. They like to say they're progressives because their job is never over. It's always, they're always working. There's so much more work to do. They always say that there's so much more work to do.
Yeah.
There's just more power, more right. control, centralized yeah. control. And the tighter you squeeze, what is it? Princess Leia on Star Wars is like, the tighter you squeeze, the more star systems will squeeze through your fingers.
What the?
And that's so true. Think about it.
That was a absolutely random.
But that's
reference.
So true. The tighter tighter you squeeze, the more people, the more states are going to slip through your fingers.
Yeah,
and
the more
going,
things you lose.
You're going to lose them. Yeah. 38 special. Hold on loosely. Come on.
Oh my gosh!
Any more?
So we're already. I don't need. I don't need any of those dad references, bro. But yeah. So, so the states basically right now we have that happening. We already have that. We already see it happening, dude. We're the people right here. We're literally in the flesh. We're the guys that are falling through the cracks because we're like, nah, you guys are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You squeezed too hard.
I mean, yeah. My family's been that way for a long time.
I know. I agree with you. So we weren't ever even in the squeeze.
I was.
We were out of the squeeze, bro.
As far as like,
I'm not gonna squeeze this lemon.
Yeah, I was gonna say. As far as I know, my great granddad was conservative. Like, and my granddad's definitely conservative. My dad's definitely conservative, and I'm probably one of the most conservative people I've known.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I don't know my family history actually of politics at all, and I never was taught about it at all. So here I am chilling like a villain, but I'm just saying, like, maybe we were already out of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was kind of like, I'm still kind of, I hate that liberal has been taken over and ruined, because I would still say that I'm a liberal, but I'm not a liberal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a lefty, but I'm liberal, you know, like I got that mind.
You're just open-minded.
Like,
yeah.
Give me all the information and I want to hear about it, you know?
Yeah, that's a classical liberal.
I know, we've talked about this before.
Someone
it's classical
who takes,
liberal,
takes
but if I say that
open-minded.
To any 19-year-old right now, I would argue that they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Or I don't know what that is.
They don't
or,
know.
Oh, so you're on the left. Like, that's not what's going to happen. Maybe we should do that. We should hit the streets and be like, I'm a classical liberal. Do you know what that means? Or some crap like that, you know? Guys, we've been talking about this forever. We want to hit the streets. We want to hit the people that like are actually out there. We want to interview them and have like clips of it. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That'd be so sweet, man.
We're thinking about like UNT campus
or UNT, TCU,
Magnolia
like all
Street,
these, you know?
Something like that.
Dude, that'd be sick, man. I really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
People need to hear about this stuff,
what
man.
What did TCU do lately? They did some stupid woke crap lately.
Really?
I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. They're getting more and more. Well, right.
So number eight, weakening of California. The Roman legions. This is the last one. Weakening of the Roman legions, mm-hmm. which basically is just saying that interior Rome was like falling apart, right?
So, yeah, their legions, their armies, their generals, they would allow... hold on. So Germanic Gauls, they would allow them in the military, and these people were not loyal to Rome at all. They don't care about Rome. They're not even Roman, you know? But they would basically be mercenaries for the Roman legions, and their loyalties would lie with gold first. They want the money, like any mercenary, right?
Right.
And then their second allegiance would be to their immediate commander, the guy they were following into battle, right? The guy they trusted their lives to every single day. So their loyalties are not to Rome, and that's just like that's no way to run an army, especially. You got to have that unwavering patriotism. That's why we won the American Revolutionary War, is because, I mean, we were outclassed, outgunned, outmanned. We knew the land, we knew the territory, and we wanted it more. And that's what it came down to. That's why we are an independent nation today. But
hell yeah.
America! So the parallel, that's not quite the same thing, but there's a parallel. Think about us training troops in Afghanistan. How many times have you heard stories or read articles over the past, how long has it been, 20 years? Yeah, 20 years we've been in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. How many times have you read articles or stories about friendly fire? Or Afghani troops shooting and killing U.S. service members, turning on them? It happens quite often.
Really?
Yes.
Actually, yeah, I didn't know. I haven't researched that.
Because nobody cares about the Middle East anymore. Well, it's old news. It's cold.
Yeah, I just now started getting into politics 2 years ago, right? And yeah, it was already, no one's talking about it, dude.
Yeah.
We probably should be, because there's a lot of unanswered questions still, in my opinion.
About?
The Middle East, about 9/11, about all that stuff.
We could do a 9/11 episode. We could do a deep dive, like 3 hour episode. You have
to understand, we're just now getting to the point where they're like asking for this stuff. They're asking for these documents from the CIA and stuff. They're asking for all of it. Yeah. They're like requesting it. You know how you can request like 20 years after or something like that?
Well, I mean, you're going to get me on a whole tangent.
Thomas Massie was talking about it. He was like, he's like leading a charge to like figure out some stuff about 9/11 20 years after it happened. And I tweeted about it. I was like, yo.
Building 7, bro.
This tweet here, I was like, building 7? Does that mean we're not going to figure out about COVID or, you know, any of this stuff?
Okay, you want me to just depress the hell out of you?
No,
we don't even know who killed Kennedy, bro.
Right.
We don't even know.
Right, correct. We know.
Yeah, it was the CIA, obviously.
We know. Watch, like, Clinton's, like, come bust into this door. Get the rope, get the rope. We have to suicide. All right. All right, guys, with that, we've hit on Rome a little bit more, and we're probably going to keep doing that, keep bringing that up, because we want you guys to understand that there are a lot of similarities, there are a lot of parallels, there are a lot of things we can see. America is just happening faster. All the stuff that happened in Rome seems to just be happening faster, probably because of technology, in my opinion. That's what usually does it. It progresses everything, makes everything speed up. You know?
Definitely.
Social media, of course, hasn't helped that at all.
Same thing with industrialization. If you look at the industrialization of like the Industrial Revolution, it happened very slowly, over about 100 years.
And then boom, boom.
And then
boom.
Look at China and India, they industrialized almost overnight, 20 years.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, think about it.
But we're the leaders there. That's why leaders are slower, I guess. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, the later it happens, the more
faster
rapidly
it is.
Happens.
Oh, yeah. That makes way more sense. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because of technology, because they had to invent the wheel, right?
Right.
The sprocket, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, China's already got the invented sprocket and it's new and improved. That's where they start. They start at a much higher level and then build from there. And the Chinese aren't dumb.
They just steal our tech. Yeah, that's cool. Well, anyway, so here we go. Guys, it's time for our new segment. I'm going to do at the end of every single podcast. It is our Q&A segment. Bow, bow, bow. And we are... Is that Sierra?
It's an Amber Alert.
It's an Amber Alert? Oh, it's on my phones too.
Freaking kids.
Give me a second, guys.
Whew. Multiple children, apparently.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to turn that off. I've got to turn the Amber Alerts off on my one phone that I have recording here. That sucks because I had to re-record it.
Yeah, if you're live, I'll read the Amber Alert to you.
Oh, wait, actually.
Conscience. Dallas, Texas, Amber Alert, the Jeter children, late 1990s, four-door gray sedan, check local media. There we go.
And clean that is conscience. Our Amber Alert on the podcast. We're live.
That's a first.
We have like a few audience, so I don't know what, anyway, whatever, doesn't matter. So Q&A segment, guys, it's freaking awesome. I'm just going to call it questions and answers. You know,
that's what Q&A. Is that what Q&A stands for?
Don't give me that. But I wanted it to be something different because it's not a Q&A like you would think of a Q&A. It's not a thing where you ask us questions about the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask questions every week on Facebook about society, culture, and politics. It just depends on what I'm feeling for the day. This one was, how far outside of society can you be while still making a difference / impact on it?
You're talking like Mountain Man, like Ted Kaczynski?
Maybe.
Because he was out living by himself in a cabin in the woods with no electricity, no running water, and he was the Unabomber, so.
Okay. That's where we can start. That's okay. Crazy. So he's way outside of society, but what did he have to do to make the impact? He literally had to be in it. I'm trying to see, and I'm not saying that there's a correlation here, like being out of society will make you a Unabomber. That's not what I'm right. saying at all. But I kind of thought, you know, it stemmed from the fact that I want to make a difference and an impact, of course, you know, change the world. And, you know, I started a podcast and all this crap. We do this because we want people to hear it and all that, right?
Mm.
If I could do that, you know, and not be a part of society at all, that'd be cool. But I don't know if it's possible.
No.
Because I constantly will think, like, oh, man, it would be so nice to just have a cabin in the woods and be out of everything and not have to worry about it. Because I see all the news, and we're constantly in the news because I've got to stay up on top of things. And it is depressing. It does get you. It does get you down sometimes, you mm-hmm. know. It does take the right kind of person, maybe, I guess, to do it.
Yeah. You got to read the positive news stories, too. Like,
right. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
The ducks crossing the road and all of them live. And
yeah, and then you do your three lines of coke and you're good. I mean, sorry, wait, hold on, guys. No, I don't do that.
Bump it up.
But what do you think? What do you think? How far outside of society can you be while still making an impact?
I think Ted Kaczynski is almost the perfect example of...
So you think,
you
really?
Can terrify a nation and live by yourself in a cabin in the woods with no...
Okay.
But he was literally a genius.
But what if I flip that around to make a positive... impact on society. Because you can't go and do something like a bomb and it'd be positive like that.
Anonymity. You could still be involved in society, whatever. Just have like a close-knit group of friends. You could also be like Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and I think, oh gosh, I hope it's John Adams because I'm going to feel like a total dunce if it's not. But those are the three that wrote the Federalist Papers under Publius and basically convinced... half of the colonies to vote for independence. So they had a huge impact on the world, right? At the time, it was just the colonies, 13 colonies.
Right.
Mostly New York at the time.
Uh-huh.
New York State, or New York Colony. But they had a profound impact, and they stayed anonymous. They wrote it under the pseudonym Publius. So you could have a profound impact if you stay anonymous.
And then how'd they find out? How did we find out who it was?
Because... they later came out and were like, by the way, I'm president. I'm also Publius, and right. So is John Jay, and so is...
Interesting. Yeah, because I was thinking about like our podcast and what else we can do to make an impact and stuff like that. And like I say, we need to go to the streets and start talking to people and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. like, you're thinking like, is that necessary? But we can't just write a publication and like... I mean, I guess you could. I guess you and could
that's
just
what
write
they did.
Something,
they wrote,
an
they wrote
op-ed
articles
and
get it
out there. And boom.
I think another little thing we could do... is we've talked about this before, is selling merchandise that goes that, you know, benefits like local fire departments and stuff like that.
Thanks for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, you can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. therealskyday.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.